Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city at life.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're doing this program a few days in advance, but we will play it on Saturday, our usual time. We're going to be talking about blood moons, dispensations, what does all that mean in these end times. Also, I wanted to invite you to our YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV. I just put up two new videos, one about Paula White and one about George Bloomer, so you might enjoy those. Also, don't forget our very special announcement, breaking news on June 21st, a special program concerning Paula White. So don't forget to tune in for that program. So we're going to bring on our guest now, Phil Armstrong.
Hey, Susan, can you hear me?
I can barely hear you.
Stand by. Can you hear
no.
me?
I can hardly hear you.
Uh-oh.
Mm. Oh, let me hear you now.
Can you hear me? Oh,
yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, Phil. What I wanted to ask you, there's been so much, commotion the past few months about these blood moons that they had recently and the eclipses. But, of course, it's nothing new because throughout history we've had these kind of things happening in the sky. And John Hagee wrote a book about it. And I'm a little concerned about John Hagee. I know he's quite popular and he has a big following. And But I'm a little concerned about him and some of the comments he makes. They're kind of off the wall. But I'm just going to read a scripture here in Joel. And from what I see, there's really not that much that the Bible says about it. Maybe Phil knows something. I don't. Joel 2 says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Notice, daughters. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, that's an interesting scripture. But anyway, Phil, what do you make out of all this?
Yeah, as far as John Hagee is concerned, I've been watching him for a couple of years. Matter of fact, I got the book. And my interpretation of the book is that it gives me hope that I can actually write a book. And I'm not trying to be funny or nothing, but it's pretty simple, pretty simple read. There's no magic in it. And as far as Mark Blitz, he's been on my show before. And his book is a lot more informative. It's almost as if you think that maybe John Hagee had a ghostwriter because it's so simple, but then not yet that he probably had the time to write that book, because technically it's saying a lot of the things that other books have said and repeated over and over again. And as far as what he's saying, I think they're tying it, the scripture that you read, I think that they're getting confused. That's a tribulation scripture. In other words, it's saying that the sun should be darkened and moon should not give it light, but it's not. Of course, Matthew 24 said that, but I'm tying it in to the fact that Jesus was referring to the tribulation period.
What is Hagee referring to? Because I don't see, and what scripture does he use? Because I don't see. I see Revelation 6:12, but that's also a very end time scripture. So I don't see what is he basing it on? Because I don't see it.
Well, he's saying that the current blood moons are a sign that something's going to happen. What I'm saying is that I've heard a few of these guys, what they do is they tie the Joel scripture to... Yeah, and it doesn't...
And it's more toward... It's like really an end time scripture. It's not... it doesn't seem to me that it pertains to anything that's happening currently.
Yeah, it's not, but here's the deal, though. Before I even read John Hagee's book, and before, a couple of years ago, this is the notion that I had, and it could be wrong. And matter of fact, a lot of things we're going to find out that we had wrong, but it was close. I do believe, going back in history, that this phenomenon called the blood moons or the tetrads have something to it. I'm looking at the last one, and then I go back and look at the one that happened in 1949, and it was after Israel became a nation. So what it possibly could be saying is, hey, look, this is a sign that Israel would have become a nation, as a signpost. I mean, it could be. I don't know. And then you can go back to 1492, and you can see the same thing happen. But my problem with all of this is that, and I'm going to go to the root. I'm going to go to the root of my whole problem with Bible prophecy, is that people, I had a lady respond to me yesterday, and she says, I love Bible prophecy. I just love it so much. And I didn't say nothing to her, and because it could lead her, it can help her to understand and get ready. But I used to be in love with Bible prophecy so much that it was my God.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what we do is we go and we read John Hagee's books and we read the other people's books, and it becomes the study becomes our God, or
it becomes like idolatry.
Yeah. And that's why people say, well, why are you haven't been on Blog Talk Radio, Phil? Because God was taking me through the shed.
Yeah,
and I love Bible prophecy, but he wanted me to say, do you love me more than these?
Yeah,
and, he's trying to get us to understand that, yeah, he is coming. God, Jesus does author prophecy. He is the principle. He is prophecy.
Yeah,
on the revelation thing. So. He is more concerned with our heart issue in these last days. When we study Bible prophecy, we tend to not look at our heart and our motives and our direction, especially when you start a radio program. Your motives could be just to get fame, or your motives could be just to be right. I call it the gospel of be right. You're on Facebook and you yell it at the top of your lungs, even though nobody can hear it. It comes form, and you're yelling at people because they're not believing what you believe. I'm not talking about the gospel, the basic sense of Christianity. I'm talking about when is the rapture or when is the how long tribulation period or all of this stuff. I normally say this: if you can change my mind, then two things either or is happening. I'm learning or I'm falling. And the thing is that a lot of people get mad at you because you don't believe what they believe. That, you know, am I a post, am I a mid, am I a pre, you know?
Yeah.
And I found myself getting angry with people as well. So my humanity was being brought to the surface as well. But I decided to study the Word of God. And as I post on Facebook or any other social network, to post as a learning, you know, thing, or share something to edify somebody. And if I get somebody to come back and yell at me, I give them a few chances for me to tell them what I believe, and then they come back and tell me what they believe. And then after a few minutes, I'd say I'm gone. Because I think it's a waste of time to sit up there and try to
convince. Yeah, it's not worth the argument because whenever the rapture happens, or if you believe in a rapture, or you believe in a tribulation, or you believe in an antichrist, it's not going to affect your salvation. So some of these arguments, it's just not worth the time and the aggravation to argue. So there's certain points that I feel that are more important. But the thing is, it's like, okay, people write a book and they're famous and they make a lot of money from the book. But that doesn't mean that it's 100% accurate or any of that. So you have to always take it and then examine it with scripture and see what the Bible says. And if the Bible doesn't agree with whoever wrote what, then you have to toss it out. But I was, there's been a lot of talk lately, too, about dispensations and dispensationalism. And I need to do a lot more research on the end times and Israel and these kind of things, because there's people that are saying the church is Israel and that the church has replaced Israel. And so there's all kinds of voices out there, but it's up to us really to take the scriptures and to examine them for ourselves, because we have to find out what thus saith the Lord, and then we have to stand firm on what is written and throw everything else out. But how do you feel about the dispensations?
Well, 2 Timothy 2:15 states the following. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When people get to a point where they don't believe that the Bible was divided, and technically it is Old Testament, New Testament right off the bat.
Yeah.
You got the Old Covenant, and you got the New Covenant right off the bat. Jesus, his disciples came to him and say, tell us, when will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age? What age were they talking about? There had to be a beginning, and there had to be an end.
Yeah.
The millennium, 1,000-year reign, started back where was an era of the creation. And Peter said in 2 Timothy, and I've got to get to the exact verse, he says, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. The earth was created in 6 days, and God rested on the seventh. The millennium in the Revelations that they're talking about is 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Now, let me go back to the rapture right quick, or go back to the imminence of Jesus Christ's return. No one knows the day and hour, and no one knows exactly what second he's coming. So the preparation, Jesus said in Luke 21:36, I think it is, he says, be ready he says, no, he says, pray that you'll be found worthy to escape. Then in the Matthew 24, he gives the impression that no one will know when he's coming. So you have to always be ready. And then every day that you drive down the highway, you should be ready for your death. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny enough, but the last thing that everyone wants to prepare for and come to a realization that everyone you see walking through Walmart to look at the glass half empty is going to be dead in 100 years.
Yeah.
So you should always be ready to stand in front of God to give an account. But anyway, let's go back to the in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, because I'm going to have to go there because I actually got it written down in my sloppy handwriting.
Yeah, I'm looking at that one right now.
And and there's another one in 1 Corinthians, but I can't find where it is. It talks about the dispensation, and it's almost shame on me because
First
I was out.
1 Corinthians 9:17.
And it talks about
Dispensation. Actually, that word does appear in the King James. It's not in the NIV, which the NIV leaves out a lot of words, so don't use it.
Yeah.
I don't like it for Bible study.
Well,
It leaves out too many words.
I use the King James, but I also, if I'm reading, the first, second Kings, if I'm reading something that has to do with war and I want to know the positioning, I sort of read another version to clarify what's going on, and then I come back to the King James, and it seems a lot more simpler once I do that. Though, but anyway, let me see. So that's verse 10. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one, which in one means Israel and the church, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. So that's
why are you putting the word Israel in there? Because it's not in there. So you can't put it in there.
I didn't put it in there. I just kind of said that was, he says, in one. He says,
but what are they talking about? They're not, it doesn't say Israel, so you can't put Israel in there. See, that's the thing
misunderstanding.
Okay.
You're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. Explain.
I'm not talking about John Hagee's thing. I'm just saying that's everyone who says that, they belong to God or who comes into the family of God. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, but Israel doesn't belong to God. I mean, not all Israelites belong to God, so.
Not all Gentiles belong to God either,
and not
everybody.
No, but are they talking about people that are in Christ here? Because that's what I hear other people saying, and it disturbs me. Is that they put the word Israel into things, and it's not there.
You're misunderstanding me.
No, but I'm asking you. I'm just asking you because I'm only bringing up this point. Is that I've heard other people say. They're talking about the church, and then they put the word Israel in there, and they say that's how they replace Israel with the church.
No,
and I'm saying the word's not there. Okay, so explain what you mean by that.
You misunderstand me. I had no connection with them. No connection. I'm not saying you do.
I just want to know why you put the word Israel in there.
I didn't put the word Israel in there because of them. I put the word Israel because a lot of people are saying that Israel, God has cast off Israel. And he hasn't. And God is
but you can't put it in there. You can't put it in there because it's not in there.
I'm not putting it in there. I don't have a pen to put it in there, Susan.
Yeah, but you just said it. When you read it, you said it. That's why I'm asking.
Let me read it again then.
Okay.
Let me read it again. That in dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things
in Christ,
both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So the point is that dispensationalism keeps to separate the church and it keeps separate Israel. God dealt with Israel in the Old Testament, and he's going to deal with them again. And in the day of Pentecost, the church was formed. So Paul had talked about a dispensation of grace, which is the time that we're living in now. So he's going to return back to the Jew in the tribulation period. So I read, that shows you my ignorance, because when you start saying that, I had no idea they put that in there. I really don't study what other people, I mean, I should. But
I'm only saying what I heard, because, see, I'm trying to find out for myself why people put Israel into things and then it's not there. So we can't.
I'm not saying
it's only you. I've heard other people do that, and I'm saying, well, you know, I don't see that. So, I mean, it was just like the blood moons. I didn't see it. I saw a couple scriptures, and I didn't read John Hagee's book. You know, I didn't read it. But I had seen a few interviews on TV, and I heard some people talking about it. So I went back to the Word and looked up some scriptures. I didn't see that much information on it. So I was wondering how in the world they could write books about it, when it seemed like those scriptures pertain to the very end of the age. You know, seems like close to the time when Jesus Christ was going to return. So, and then I've heard other people, you know, friends of mine, that talk about the church replacing Israel, and they'll read a scripture and they'll put the word Israel in there, and I'm saying, well, it's not in there. So I have to do the study for myself, because maybe there's something I don't know, you know, because I don't know everything. And I haven't spent a lot of time studying the end times. So I want to learn for myself. But I see that there's a lot of people doing that.
Yes.
Hold on for a second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This, I have your show page on. Okay, I hung up on it. All right, yeah, but what's going to happen is at the end of the age, he's going to gather together. That's why his disciples asked. They thought he was going to do the kingdom at that time. And when you read Acts chapter 1, he's going to ask them, "Is you going to restore the kingdom?" Which is not for you to know the times and the seasons. That, you know, only the Father knows the times and seasons. Well, they knew that eventually, especially through the epistles of Paul, they knew that eventually that God would go back to the Gentiles, but it was only known after the fact. It was a mystery. The church itself was a mystery, and the church formulated off which were the disciples at the time. And then they became apostles, but the church formulated off that, and it was to the Gentiles. And I think it was James who did not want. He was kind of like, you know, kind of timid. But Paul's ministry was to, and Peter's ministry was to the Jew, and Paul's was to the Gentiles. So I don't know how they get Israel and the church, and to say the church is the new Israel, but it's just the end time fallacy.
That's something I know that I need to study, and I started studying, you know, looking up the word Israel to try to see where they get it from, and you know, I haven't come to any conclusions myself yet. I mean, that's something I need to spend more time with, but
Israel is Israel. I mean, the Jews, right. But it's just a separate entity, and the church and God has worked with the Gentiles to spread the gospel to even the Jew. So eventually, 144,000 will preach the gospel along with, of course, the two witnesses, the leaders, and the angel.
Yeah, but where
in the
does
sky,
it say that?
Who?
Where does it say that it's going to be 144,000 Jews preaching the gospel?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see that. I know there was a scripture that did pertain to, let me see, the New Testament. Israel. If you find it before me, but I'm looking here. Let me see what it says, because there was something about spiritual. I know somebody has said something about spiritual Israel.
Chapter 7 of Revelation.
Okay, chapter 7 of Revelation. Want to read it?
Yeah. It says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of the tribes of the children of Israel.
Okay.
And it goes to families. It goes to the tribes of Judah, Reuben, Gad, and the rest of all the all the way through. And then it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne. So these 144,000 Jews are the ones who are preaching the gospel. And it says somewhere in here that they were sealed. I guess they said that early on. And these are the ministers in the tribulation period.
Yeah, so then I'm looking at Romans 11:26. It says, and so all Israel shall be saved. That is, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And then 1 Corinthians 10:18.
Pardon? You got more scriptures than I got.
Well, I'm looking at the crosswalk, and it's a great way to, you know, to search. And
yeah,
that's why I'm pulling them up as we're talking. But because it says, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar. So there, I've heard people take behold Israel after the flesh, and then they put the church in there or something. And so I'm saying, well, you know, for me, I need to know exactly for myself what's going to happen. And it takes a lot of study. I mean, you can't, you know, these are questions which need to be answered, I think, especially in these times.
Yeah. Well,
because
see,
there's a lot of people, you know, saying different things out there.
Well, this is my point right here, as far as some people don't believe in the pre-millennium or pre-trib rapture, and this is the point I'd like to make, is that, first of all, imminence means that you should be ready at all times, and that's including death, but including a lot of people saying that there is no rapture. See, when you take out the rapture, then you can say that the church will go into the tribulation period, and then now it's Jacob's trouble, but it's actually the church's trouble, and that's not the case. The case is that the church is gone, and he reverts back to Israel. And that's why he calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. That's why he talked about in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27, that there should be 70 weeks. And through this time period, there were gaps. So it'd be, you know, first, you know, a certain amount of years, and then there'll be a gap. And then it says that the Messiah should be cut off. And of course, we know that the clock stopped, and we can refer it back to Hosea. Chapter 6, I think it is, where he talks about after 2 days he will revive us, on the third day he should raise us up. And the 2 days represent 2,000 years. So that's exactly where we're at right now. And he will go back to the Jews. When people say that the church replaced the Jews, they're not reading the Bible in context. And to talk about dispensational, dispensational means God's way of managing the affairs of man to perform his plan of the ages. And it's his way of, for instance, Israel was held in captivity by the Egyptians, the Babylonians, and they were attacked by the Syrians. And God dealt with all of those nations accordingly to his purpose and plans. When we see the creation, do we call small periods a time of dividing. So the Bible says rightly dividing the word of truth. So you would have to divide in innocence, which is being in the garden and in Eden, where Satan, you know, fooled them into eating the fruit. And then you talk about human government. You can also talk about the flood before that. You can that's the time where God dealt with individuals a certain way. And then you see the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then we go back to them, God telling them to go to Egypt, settle in Egypt, and they became slaves. And then they came out of there, you know, let my people go. And then, you know, you got the law being added with Moses, and, you know, and then you got dispensation of the law versus dispensation of grace. And then you have the minor prophets coming in too, you know, to skip. I'm kind of skipping around, but you have the minor prophets that God dealt with certain people. But in the Old Testament, most of the time he's dealing with Israel, and he's dealing with them on two matters of obedience and disobedience.
That seems to be what he does with most people, though, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what the Word of God is for. All Scripture.
Right.
All Scripture's for proof. All Scripture's for correction.
Right.
And then there's times when he's not dealing with somebody else. He's not. And see, when you start to get it confused, get all this stuff confused, that it's a simple. Even a child can do it. A child can sit back and read the Bible if you give them a nice little Bible, and they can understand that God dealt with people at certain times, all the way up until Jesus on the cross, and he's still dealing with us today. And see, when people say the church is now Israel, I purposely did not put that in there because I guess I should need to go study some more because I don't know what the other side is saying. I really
don't. Exactly.
That's why I think
it would be a good discussion if maybe I could get a program where I could have both sides and then, you know, examine it from their point of view and try to find out what they're talking about because I know personally I need to study it more because I don't know that much about it. I don't know that much about, except what I've heard other people say. And I've never done an in-depth study like I've done on some subjects. But I think it's important.
It is important that we know. But what I'm coming to find out, though, is there's a lot of stuff out there, and you know this. There's a lot of stuff out there, and I'm not even pointing to a certain subject. I mean, there's stuff out there I didn't even know people thought and believed. I mean, as a matter of fact, there's stuff that I knew people believed, but I just still can't believe it. For instance, my wife has a friend that a couple of years ago, she was going to church and she was believing in God and stuff like that. Her dad was a pastor. And she had another friend at the same time. They used to hang together. And it come to find out that just recently, because they haven't talked for like years, and then my wife was at a football game with we were watching her kid, her friend's kid. And then we were talking about, many ways to God. And then I remember listening to Paul Crouch and those guys talk about, you know, in one of their videos, they're talking about, you know, they were kind of like just going off on a tangent. And I kind of remember that, and then I also remember Billy Graham, you know, and they say, well, he was just old, and that's why he was saying that there's, you know, more ways to God.
Yeah, right.
And it's a movement going on. Yeah, he sounded pretty darn there to me, and he seemed like he had all of his senses saying
There's a movement, to deceive people.
Yeah, and there's a movement to say that Israel has been replaced by, you know, the church. And there's many movements out there. But the thing is that, like, for me, I'm timid to go in and read what the opposite is saying because I don't know. It's not the point that I'm lazy or anything. It's just the fact that I'm growing in Christ in another area where I want to get close to the Lord. And I'm not the strongest person in the world, so when I start to read their side, I leave that to Eric Berger and all those other guys that have been on your show to read the opposite. To Dave James, that's, you know, he never got a chance to come on my show, but, you know, he sent me some his books and tapes, and I'm going to go ahead and have him on the show in the fall. But, you know, those guys are the ones.
Well, yeah,
that
the
I
people that have actually done the research, yeah.
Yeah, I go to them. I don't have the time. And it's spiritual. It's not a matter of I want to spend time with my family or nothing like that. You know, it's just the fact that to me, I'd rather get somebody else who's done the footwork to glean off them, and then I have an understanding of quicker.
Yeah, and then to go back, that's why I do listen to the other side, just to go back and examine it and take the scriptures that they're using, just to see if it lines up with what the Word of God says, because that's the way we're supposed to study, is to be a Berean.
Yeah, after I know somebody else appointed me to that stuff, because, like, for instance, what's the name of that book where God's supposed to be a fat black woman or something like that? What's this? I go on there to look for people who have already done it. Now, my wife suggested if I'm going to do a show on the Shack, I should go listen to the Shack, and I almost wanted to vomit, literally, because people are actually doing Bible studies on the Shack.
Yeah.
You know, in home Bible studies, I'm not deceived. So that's why the Bible says rightly dividing the word of truth.
Right.
You have to rightly divide. And I know, you know, I don't even know how they put that in there. It doesn't even have anything to do with dividing the Bible to put a God as a fat black woman. I mean, to me, that's just like, really? So I understand what you're talking about.
There's so much. Especially now that we have the internet, I can find things every day that just about blow my mind, and I said, "Where in the world did that come from?" But we're seeing people believe it. It's like the other day, last week, about a week ago, Sunday, when they had George Bloomer at Randy White's church, and George Bloomer said that he was going to wipe the sweat off his brow, and he was going to wipe his anointed sweat on their offering envelopes, because he had an anointing for finances. And I'm wondering, like, why are people still sitting there? Why didn't they run for the door and run for their life? So there's things every day, and I try not to fill my head with too much of it. I try to do a little bit of research and topics that I think are relevant. And I think this topic is relevant about, you know, Israel, who is Israel in the New Testament, who is the church. And so I personally am going to spend a little bit more time trying to find out for myself. And I think it would be make another interesting program to have, have both sides give their views. And then search it out in light of scripture, because there's too much going on. I think it's important to know what the Word of God says. So, you know, I'm not a fan of John Hagee's. I am a little upset with him too, because to me, if you're going to be a Bible teacher and you're going to call yourself a Bible teacher, well, then you should read the Bible and try to teach it accurately. I especially don't like his teaching on tithing, which, you know, he hasn't read the Bible. If he read the Bible, he would know what the Bible says about tithing, but he never read it for himself. Apparently, he just taught what he heard somebody else teaching, and then he calls himself a Bible teacher. So I have to hold him in account for that if you're going to call yourself a Bible teacher and a believer, then you need to read it and then do a teaching on a topic. Just don't go out there and teach people every week the same thing, and it's not true. So the Bible says that people that preach the word are more responsible than other people. And so we have to, we can't take that responsibility lightly. And so I don't care who it is, what famous person it is or whoever, that they need to read and they need to study to show themselves approved, just like any of us, and then come out and teach people. Because I take my radio program seriously. I try to be responsible about what I put out there. And I'm not saying that I'm 100% right or the people that we have on are 100% right all the time, but we're trying to be as honest. We have no motivation. We have no financial interest in this program. I know they play a commercial before my program. I have nothing to do with the commercial. I can't help that they play a commercial because that's part of the deal of being on Blog Talk Radio. But I get nothing for them playing a commercial. We're not on the air trying to raise money or to, you know, tell people, we beat them over the head and tell them we can't go on preaching the gospel. We've reached millions of people between everything we've done on the internet with a very little, I mean, limited budget. So don't let these people fool you that they need, you know, millions of dollars to preach the gospel. You don't. So I think we have to be responsible, and we do this out of a pure heart. We do it because I've been on the air almost 5 years. In August, it'll be 5 years. Yeah. So I'm going to do it until the Lord tells me not to do it. But I take it seriously. I try to present programming that's honest and accurate, and that's what I really try to do. So. And I know that's what you try to do. Otherwise, we wouldn't be out there. And
I made some mistakes. I remember, and the good thing is that I can actually go over my archives and realize that somewhere along the line, God got a hold of me, because I had only one guest on that I can question, maybe two, and I really didn't agree with what they were saying. And I had one on talking about the Pope, and now today, if you listen to some of my recent shows, I would say that Saint Malachy was not a prophet, and I think people go through that process of getting upset when they say that Pope Francis is not, Peter the Roman. He's just not, and then they get mad at you when you say that Barack Obama is not. The guy got gray hair, and he's almost. I mean, he's going to be old man pretty quick, and nothing against him. I pray for him, but he's not the Antichrist. So sometimes you tell people certain things. Like I told, you know, like I said in one of my shows, and you ain't going to get that many listens. I told him about the blood moons, and I said if the blood moons are something, it's going to happen after it finishes out. I mean, at least 2015 or onward. And, I was saying that, I mean, I got John Hagee's book, and I guess you can say I read the person that I really, because I listen to Jack Van Impe, but the problem with me having with Jack Van Impe is me and my wife was watching it in bed, and I was getting upset. My wife went to sleep, she was snoring, and I was like sitting there thinking, I was like, this cat, man, is he a Catholic or what? I mean, really, listen.
I don't trust Jack Van Impe. I won't listen to him. The only time I would listen to him is if, you know, I was going to do some research to find out what he was saying was false, because his allegiance is to the Catholic Church, and I question that. What legitimate Bible teacher is going to endorse Catholicism? You just can't do it. It doesn't mesh. So I don't listen to these people. This is... For me personally, the people that are way out there in left field endorsing false religious systems, I'm not listening to their teaching. I'll go and try to find out for myself. But I would listen to him just to find out what he was saying so I could refute it. But after he endorsed the Pope years ago, that was it. That was it for Jack Van Impe. I turned him off. So,
but when he starts about how great of a man Pope John Paul was,
yeah,
that's when I stopped watching it. Yeah. I like to watch it once in a while to see what he's saying, and I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding you. The last night that we watched that was Sunday, and I was just laying there because I'm normally flip through the channels and I like G movies. It's a Christian thing where it has a lot of Christian movies on it. But anyway, he was just talking about the Catholic Church and all of this other stuff, and it's kind of like the equivalent of what I was saying earlier, because you had said what I just said earlier, but just in a different way. It's hard for me to go and study, like even this. John Hagee book, it's hard for me to finish, because I normally can finish a book from beginning to end, but it has ghostwriter written all over it, or just, well, simplicity written all over it at least, and I just couldn't finish it.
It might have been taken from a sermon, somebody transcribed his sermon.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it was taken from.
Yeah, but I know that they embellish, a lot of these guys embellish this whole romantic idea of Israel and what's happening in the sky and all that, and they can't really back it up with scripture, and so they get people all excited about things like Y2K, that was one thing. I laughed my head off over Y2K because I had so many friends that were taking their money out of the bank. And I thought to myself, you think that Bill Gates is that stupid? Like, he was that stupid that he was going to cause an economic crash in the year 2000, and he was going to actually do something that was going to affect his billions? No way.
Yeah.
I mean, they are not that stupid. So it actually turned out to be an excellent time for people to make money if they were smart, because they had stocks that were selling for 10 cents, 15 cents, and in a few weeks they went up to $20, $100, $500. So it was a time for people to get rich. But, the church, for some reason, acted so stupid and bought into the whole thing, and these guys were laughing all the way to the bank. So you just have to be careful of people's motivation. Why are they teaching these things? Are they just teaching it to sell a book, or do they really care about you? I'm not opposed to people selling books. I think I admire anybody that can write a book. It's hard to write a book. It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. I don't think people just sit down and write books, because they have nothing else to do. I've written little books, and it took a lot of time. So never mind a book of any substance, but I think, it's important to wonder why some of these people do the things they do, and they deceive people, and I don't like to see people deceived. I really don't. So I like to spend a little bit of time with the programs we do to try to stop the deception. I thought it was important to bring out the subject of the blood moons, because it was all over the place, And so far, the time went and passed, but what happened? Nothing happened yet.
Yeah.
I don't know when something was supposed to happen, but nothing happened yet. I don't see any economic collapse on the horizon anytime soon. The thing is, if the government wants to print money, they merely go and print some money. So everything is controlled. And never mind, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have God the Father taking care of us. So we don't have to be afraid no matter what happens. We do not have to be afraid, because God is going to take care of us. So we do not depend on the economies of the world. But trust me, these rich people, they don't want to lose their money. So they're not going to be so stupid to do stupid things. They like their money more than anything, most of these people. So we don't have to be afraid. So, the fear-mongering and all that, I don't buy into it. You know, I don't think we should as Christians either. But you know, I kind of thought that, you know, that whole thing with the blood moons too. It was more, I think it, in some ways, it tried to put fear on people.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, you know, only time will tell. And the most important thing is to study, to see what the Word of God says. But I think it would be an interesting program to do in the future, is this, and present both sides, because I'm interested. You know, it had my curiosity, and I started to do a little bit of research, but I haven't really, you know, done enough.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Anyway, so Phil, what's your next program, and when's your next program coming up? Tell people about your broadcast.
Yeah, we tend to be playing a lot of the older shows recently, but most of the time on Mondays, we have a series called Set Free, and that's based off addictions and stuff like that. And then on Tuesdays, we have a Bible prophecy update. And we're going to start doing shows again where we have our guest on, and that's probably going to be coming pretty soon. I've already invited a few people on. And then, you can catch us up on Prophecy Zone Radio, on Blog Talk Radio, and also on our website at www.pzrn.org. We're going to start doing a lot more news updates on that. So.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, we just have a few minutes left, but I was wondering if you happened to catch the Hillary Clinton interview last night. Did you happen to see that?
What was she on, 60 Minutes or something?
What was it? Diane Sawyer did the interview. And, I mean, Diane looks a lot better than her, and she's older than Hillary. But I thought the one thing that... that I thought was very odd was when Hillary was kind of pleading poverty after they left the White House. She said after they left the White House, they were broke, and they had a hard time putting money together to buy that, I don't know, multi-million-dollar house they bought over there in New York State. You know, it was tough for them. So,
wow.
Yeah, you know, there's an Easter bunny, too.
You remember when she was running for president the first time, and she would go down soft, and she would have this accent, this hillbilly accent.
Yeah, She had a real good one in the beginning. She wanted to. They played a couple clips of her last night, and you could see that she would use that hillbilly accent to her benefit. You know when it would benefit her. So I noticed that too. I said, wow, she's talking like, you know, with that hillbilly accent. But, of course, last night there was no trace of it. But it says today on the Drudge Report, Hillary backtracks from dead broke comments. I know. I mean, you had to feel really sorry for her that it was so hard for them to pull the money together to buy that multi-million-dollar compound there up in New York State. It was tough.
Yeah.
So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but I watched it. I wanted to hear what she had to say, and she's mean. She could be. She's got a mean streak, so I wouldn't mess with her. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, so we'll be looking forward. Thanks for coming on today. It was interesting, very interesting program. And we'll have you back. See what else comes up in the future. But I'm glad you came on today. Thanks for coming on, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, God bless you all. Interesting discussion. I don't know, maybe some of you have some information on the church is Israel, or did Israel replace the church, or if you want to send me something, you can, susan@propheticnews.com. I'll look at it, and it's a subject that needs more study. I'm on the fence about it. I don't know. So I've got to spend more time doing my research. And I think that's important for all of us, is to study the Word of God to find out if those things are so. And the most important thing is, are you right with God today? Do you know where you're going to go when you die? Jesus said in the third chapter of John that ye must be born again. Once you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. You can know today that you can go to heaven and that your sins are forgiven, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord, you can ask him to come into your life and ask him to forgive you of your sins. And he'll do that. He will forgive you, and you can have a brand new life. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And he's coming again. And heaven is a real place, and our names can be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we can have a home forever with God in heaven. So don't forget, Jesus Christ loves you. He paid the ultimate price when he died on the cross for your sins. God does love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.